In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Some years ago, a kindly grandmother had the tradition of telling her granddaughter the story of the little match girl every Christmas Eve. You may recall this story. It was written by Hans Christian Andersen in the mid-1800s. It is about a young girl who came from a very poor family. One has the impression that she was often hungry and that she didn't have the proper clothing or housing to keep her warm. To assist the family financially, she was sent to sell bundles of matches in the streets. Keep in mind that this was at a time when there was no electricity, and so matches were indeed a needed commodity. The lighting was done by candles and lamps, and the heat was provided by fire in the fireplace, not a modern electronic heating system. On this particularly cold night, the young girl had left her home with several bundles of matches in her apron pocket to sell. She was wearing her mother's slippers, but because they were too large for her feet, she lost them as she scurried out of the way of a quickly passing carriage. So the poor child was out in the freezing weather without shoes, without warm clothes, hungry, and without her parents. After quite some time, she realized that she simply was not selling any matches. She dreaded going home because she knew her father would beat her for not bringing home any money. And so she sat down against a building. She began to shiver as her hands and feet were already blue from the cold. She thought to herself, maybe if I could strike just one match, I might warm myself just a bit. And when she struck the first match, she saw a vision of a wonderful, warm wood stove with a blazing fire. But as soon as the match burned away and was extinguished, the vision vanished. She struck another match, and this time she saw a table spread with food, and in particular, the baked goose caught her eye. But again, as soon as the match expired, the vision was gone. With the third match, she saw a large, beautiful Christmas tree decorated from top to bottom, and like the other visions, this vision too disappeared. Finally, with the fourth match, she saw her grandmother. She recalled how her grandmother had loved her so very much, probably more than anyone else in her life. And she called out, "Grandmother, don't leave me. I know that when the match burns, you will leave me, just like the stove and the table of food and the Christmas tree." Her grandmother simply smiled at her. Then the young girl took out a whole bundle of matches and lit them all at once. And it was as if the night disappeared completely, and all she could see was day. As the bundle of matches began to burn away, her grandmother gathered her up in her arms and carried her off to be with God. The next day, the townspeople discovered the poor child's frozen body, huddled by the cold stone wall. Today, we might wonder, why would someone write such a story for children? What a dire situation the young girl was in. Why expose a child to such a tragic story? In fact, it would seem that this story has lost favor in today's world. It's no longer repeated very often. Brothers and sisters, hasn't our culture perhaps gone too far in sterilizing what we see and what we experience? You see, there are indeed children today who are just as hungry, who are just as cold and just as alone as the little match girl. Do we notice them? In all honesty, they are there. They're in the shadows. They're hidden perhaps from view, but they are there nonetheless. Every day in this world, children die of hunger and exposure to the elements, as do adults. John the Baptist today tells us that if we have two coats, we must give one of them to someone who has none. And if we have food, we must share it with those who have none. Of course, John the Baptist is the prophesied figure in the first reading from Malachi. He is the messenger who prepares the way of the Lord. He was sent to prepare the hearts of the people to receive our Lord Jesus Christ in all purity. And so, as we continue our own preparations, as we journey through the season of Advent, we are called to prayer, we are called to fasting, but we are also called to almsgiving. This is a primary part of preparing our hearts to receive our Lord. You see, ultimately, all that we have, our houses, our belongings, our clothing, our food, these are all blessings that we have been given by the Lord. We are merely stewards of these things. In order to prepare our hearts to welcome Christ, the Messiah, God's ultimate gift to mankind, we must prepare by sharing the blessings that we have been given. Why is this so important? Surely, God, who knows the plight of the lilies of the field and clothes them, will He not also clothe His children? And surely the Lord, who knows the needs of the birds of the air and gives them each enough to eat, will He not also feed His children? Indeed, He does. But often, He does so by giving those blessings that He gives to us, to them, through our hands, so that we might become instruments of God's blessing. In this way, we share in God's own magnanimity. Secondly, it is necessary that our hearts be open to sharing, because a heart that is truly prepared to receive Christ must also be prepared to share Christ with those who do not know Him. In this way, the preparations that we have undertaken during Advent must ultimately prepare us for that time and place when we can share Christ, who is the gift from the Father on Christmas Day. And finally, as we are reminded in the first letter of John, the ultimate gift that God wishes to give us through His Son is eternal life. Unless we are prepared to receive Him, we may miss the greatest gift that God offers mankind. For this reason, brothers and sisters, as we continue in this journey of Advent, let us open our eyes to see the plight of the needy among us. Let us look for the little match girl and those around us and share with them a warm coat, a warm meal, and the good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.